Ken from Wright River says, let's talk about Daniel Jones being atrocious in camp. I'm sorry, Ken, but we love you, Ken. Thanks for the text. But are you spending a lot of time at Giants camp? Are you just reading what I'm reading? You know, again, there's a lot of guys that don't have great camps. And again, I maybe he's having a terrible camp. Maybe he's struggling a little bit. Maybe they're trying things. Maybe they're putting him in situations that are more difficult. Maybe it's the routes aren't being run right. I mean, I don't want to hear about this being atrocious stuff until I see him play. I don't even care how he plays tomorrow. Until we get on the football field where the starters are out there, it means something, all of his weapons are out there, and we're playing football, then you can tell me I'm wrong. But my point is, the media is different with Jones than they are with anybody else in the NFL. It's just reality. And they have to be because they're going to be covered. They're going to be eating a lot of crow. And we talk about my big bowl of crow that I got for a lot of people to eat. I mean, the media's going to have to deal with that. So, yeah, he's, you know, everyone's writing he's been atrocious. We'll see how it plays out. But I think he's going to be a dynamite quarterback in this league, and I think he's going to be the next great Giant quarterback.
I think generally my policy on preseason is if you're not a staff member of the team who knows what they're looking for in every drill and everything, be very careful with your preseason analysis of players because you don't always know all the factors. That's really what this is about those staff members getting the information they need for the regular season.
Yeah, and you know, and I'll tell you something else. Like, if you watch the Giants play against the Jets, it was not fun to watch. I mean, again, it's preseason, and everything is so vanilla. And what I'm learning about Joe Judge is that man is a poker player, okay? He's not going to show you anything. And everything is just very basic. But they didn't look good against the Jets. The offensive line didn't look good against the Jets. Nothing looked good against the Jets. Then they go play Cleveland. And all of the backup offensive linemen played for the Giants. And again, Cleveland wasn't playing all their guys, but they played a few of their guys. And that backup offensive line that the Giants had dominated that off that front for Cleveland. You know, so again, I mean, you know, let's just wait and see how it plays out. I trust Judge and his staff. I really do. Gettleman, in the beginning, I think you got to give him a little bit of a pass. There's questions I have about Gettleman, and we'll see. But I trust Judge. Judge is a good football coach. He's a real he's not flamboyant. You know, he's tough to listen to. You know, he's almost like you're almost intimidated when he starts talking. It's like, you know. I mean, he's a tough guy. I trust him and what he's doing, and we'll see how it plays out. I mean, I'm just giving you an example. I'm giving you what I believe. Watching Daniel Jones play for the last 2 years and knowing that he's got this kind of ability, I've always believed that he's got the opportunity to be successful in this league. I just do. Tony on the Town Fair Tire text line says, just one man's opinion, but Max Jones is going to have had a better career by the end of it than Daniel Jones. Hey, Tony, maybe. But not because they're better quarterbacks. Maybe New England have a better team around him.
He could be a better quarterback. We don't know yet. I think it's the big thing.
Too early. But I think to even say something like that is just because subliminally you've been told Daniel Jones stinks. But you have to look at what's around him.
Hey, every year. What? You know I've defended you to a decent extent on Daniel Jones.
I'm not saying you, but I think for the masses, the people that think I'm going crazy here about Daniel, I just believe in him. Kevin from Burlington, don't forget that some players play into shape on the preseason. That's right. The preseason's the worst because football fans want it. You know, you want to be special right now. You want everything to be perfect. Everything's got to be great. We're not at practice. We have no idea what's going on there.
Well, it's such a wild card. Think about with the Patriots right now. They drafted that running back, Ramondre Stevens. He's been lights out in the preseason. So they traded away Sony Michel. But we could get to the regular season and Stevens could suck. We'll wish we had Sony Michel still. He could also be amazing. It's really hard to tell.
All right, let's get to Lewis Riddick's comments about it. Look, and let me just premise this. I really like Lewis Riddick. I don't watch ESPN at all anymore. I really just don't. It's hard for me to watch it. I'm not into their personalities. But Lewis Riddick is one of the guys I really like. But this take right here is very interesting. Go ahead.
This right now, Daniel Jones' success and or failure will be, although it's on him because ultimately you're responsible for your own performance, it will also be an indictment on the entire team building operation in New York, right, if he does fail, because it's not going to be just on him. The offensive line has been mismanaged in epic proportions. They had their pick of every single offensive tackle in the draft last year, and they picked Andrew Thomas, who was by far the worst one. The worst. The worst. That is on personnel. That is on coaching and development and utilization. That is something that John Mara is going to have to take a hard look at overall. It's not just Daniel Jones, but what has happened around him. And that is something that is going to take a while to play itself out this year. And I will tell you this. Look, I know John Mara said he doesn't want to give them a win or else type of ultimatum this year. But he also said at the end of last year, we better be trending towards being a competitive football team because, Ryan, you've already laid it out.
I mean, again, his take on the offensive line is based on what we've seen in the past. And when my point is that these are young guys, and I think it's unfair for us to just label them until we know. Andrew Thomas, in his opinion, might have been the worst one, you guys. But late in the year, he was statistically one of the best in the NFL. Matt Peart, the kid they got from UConn, proved to be very capable. Gates proved to be capable. Hernandez took a step back, but it looks like he's trimmed himself up. And like I told you, some of these backups look pretty strong to me. Let's let this play out. The Giants are the most polarized, most under the microscope, this dissected team in the NFL. I think we have to wait and see before we make a judgment.
Yeah, the line was playing a lot better down the stretch there that season.
Yeah.
And you saw this offseason, they had the 11th pick, they had all free agency, and they didn't go after any offensive linemen. That shows that in the organization, they trust who's there.
Right.
Even if it's young, they trust who's there, that they're going to develop. And if you want to have any trust in the organization, you just have to trust their opinion on that. I mean, you got to go with that. That's your team. That's what they chose to do.
From a fan perspective, obviously, with Daniel Jones being a young, talented quarterback, that's not the area where you want a question mark. That's kind of a scary positional group to have question marks at. But like Paul just said, if the organization trusts that group, then you kind of just got to see if they're right.
Yeah, and you can't just draft somebody because, we think we need – I mean, if the guy's not right, if the right offensive lineman isn't there, you're not just going to draft him. Now, letting Zeitler go is tough, but it was a cap situation they had to do to get the guys they brought in. But I'm telling you, if these guys can compete a little bit, just think about things for 1 second here. Healthy Saquon Barkley, Galladay out in the out wide, Sterling Shepard finally playing the slot where he's supposed to be, a guy like Kyle Rudolph, who is a football catching machine, on there as well. And then if Evan Ingram could ever develop himself into the player that I think the Giants hope he could be, they've got a real chance to put points on the board. And again, last year. And this is my biggest point here about the Giants, especially what they are offensively last year. They did not have a chance. They didn't have one guy on their team that could create separation on their own. The only way they could create separation is if Daniel Jones could get out of the pocket, could hold the ball for a long time so they could do something. The Giants right now, when healthy, and I didn't even bring up Kadarius Toney when he gets out there, this superstar from Florida, who I also don't understand why the media is all over. You know, he ended up getting COVID. You know, he's had some injuries, but I mean, everybody loved this pickup. I mean, whatever, who knows how it's going to work out. But if this kid's a difference maker as well, this football team has a chance because of these guys that can create their own separation to be unbelievable offensively. This offensive line, I think, is going to thrive with these type of weapons on the field.
I think Tony and Saquon's usage are actually the key to that offense. If you get those guys the ball in space, it won't matter as much how good that offensive line is, as long as they are even remotely passable. Having the ability to get those two the ball in space opens up the rest of the playbook.
Yeah, no question.
Keeps Daniel Jones from having to make tough plays.
Exactly.
I think that's the key. And then you can get Galladay involved down the field, get Shepard involved over the middle.
I mean, we can talk about all, right. Everything you're saying is right. Everything you guys are saying is right. My point is, can we at least come to this understanding that the Giants are just nitpicked to death? I mean, they're just literally. I mean, you got these guys coming. I listen to these interviews and I read these articles every single day, and it's like, my God, with this. I mean, give me a break. Let this play out. I mean, they've got a real. And then let me just say this: that defense on the other side is filthy good. Okay, I mean they are deep at linebacker. They're deep at tackle, and their secondary. They've got a lot of depth. The secondary when they're healthy, and it looks like they're going to be. I mean, they had a little scare with Dory Jackson the other day, but it turns out a very mild ankle sprain. He'll be ready, it looks like. They are going to be dynamic defensively. I mean, this team, I'm telling you, go ahead and sleep on the Giants. Go right ahead and do that, you guys. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to be a top 10 defense this year easily.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they're going to be around like the 5 mark even maybe. They could be very good. Yeah, the New York media is insane, especially for the Giants. I don't think the Jets get quite the love that the Giants do, but Eli Manning, I heard once talk about it, where the difference is like other markets, you know, there's times where the media, and you talk to the media. In New York, after every practice, you go into your locker, they're right there. They are in your face from the moment you walk in there to the moment you leave.
The New York media is just, they're just looking yeah. They're just trying to find the hit. They want to get that clickbait. That's what they're looking for.
Well,
it's insane.
But what the New York media did with Eli and what they're not doing with Daniel Jones, they protected Eli.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what they, it's like Joe Biden. I mean, you know, I mean, the media covers. That's what's happening here with Daniel, with Eli. I mean, again, Eli was a good man. He's a Manning. He won, again, he won championships. But if you take the championships away, right?
Average quarterback.
So average.
I mean, if he played in, pick a team. If he ended up going to San Diego, if everybody remembers what happened, San Diego drafted him first. The Giants drafted Phillip Rivers, which they should have kept. And that's who they should have kept.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, if the Giants kept Phillip Rivers, they would have had four championships instead of two. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Well, you say without the championships, he's an average quarterback. I think without the championships,
he's below average.
Mediocre is probably what.
And I think there
have
been a lot of disappointment. But if you listen to the New York media through the whole process, you would have swore to God he was Peyton Manning. And again, Eli had tremendous moments. I mean, Eli was an iconic figure in the NFL. There's no question about that. Some of the greatest moments in NFL history he was a part of. I mean, he made some huge throws, he did some really nice things, but there's a lot of average quarterbacks, guys. Trent Dilfer did some amazing things in Super Bowls, okay? He's got a Super Bowl championship.
You
got
to remember these are all pro players.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, but what the media did with Eli, especially late in his career when he should have been retiring or stepping back, they protected him. They don't do this with this kid. And again, that's why fans, that's what we do. I mean, I read, you read, we look at things, we watch television, we listen to people like us on the radio that just bash people every single day instead of recognizing. I don't know how anybody that's realistic about Daniel Jones can look at him and look at his body and look at what he has the ability to do. Not about the fumbles or the turnovers. I mean, Eli turned the ball over like crazy. Phil Simms fumbled the ball and turned the ball over like crazy. Everybody, Brett Favre was a turnover machine. But when you look at the skill set of Daniel Jones, the ability to run, the ability to throw, the ability, the arm strength, the recognition of things. He has got all the tools to be elite. How do we not see that?
You know what's ironic is Jameis Winston's getting a ton of love right now from the media, and his reputation for his whole career is having about as many turnovers as touchdowns. That's what he's known for.
Yeah. I mean, so I think when you look at this team and we really break it down, and you guys did a really good job of just saying that. I mean, Saquon Barkley, Galladay, Sterling Shepard, Ingram, Rudolph, Slayton. I mean, these are difference makers. And if you have an offense, and he's not going to have to hold the ball that long. He's not going to have to do some things. He can just work. He can just get it done. And I'm telling you, end of the day, I think he's going to be an unbelievable quarterback. And I think all these guys are going to have a little bit of egg on their face. I think most of them are, because I think the problem that they have here is they've mocked him so much, they've bashed him so much, that if he ever does have any success, it's going to look really bad on these guys.
I think this is kind of just the nature of, like Paul was saying, of the media in these bigger markets. I mean, you look at Boston this last year with the Celtics. There were guys calling for the trading of Tatum and Brown, two guys who have been phenomenal for their age.
I mean, listen,
it's ridiculous.
The Celtic fans wanted to get rid of their coach, and now they have him gone. You're going to reap what you sow there as well.
Yeah.
No, Dennis from Georgia on the Town Fair text line, missing the show for some soccer. It looks like his son's playing some soccer today. Hope I'm not missing Jeff being too full of Danny Dimes nonsense.
You are.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable.
Good timing, Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis, he's always good for timing. He's probably listening, too. That's probably
he's got to be listening.
He's actually got some big stakes in Danny Dimes' season regarding this.
So if you don't know, Dennis from Georgia is a big fan of the show. He's actually, I don't know if he's a fan or he just likes to give me a lot of crap.
I think he's a fan.
Yeah, big fan. So we have a bet that if the Giants finish ahead of he's a Washington fan. If the Giants finish ahead of Washington, he's going to sit in that chair to my right. He's going to get on these airwaves. He's going to say, what a brilliant football mind I am to everybody. He has to admit it. And if the Giants happen to, it's not going to happen. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not going to happen. But if the Giants happen to fall behind Washington and finish behind Washington, I have to wear his pick. He picks a jersey out, a Washington jersey that I have to wear for a week.
I think Dennis Manley might be.
Dexter Manley,
might be the top pick right now.
Is Dexter Manley the way to go? Dexter Manley used to give me nightmares when I was a kid.
I'm nervous for you there, Jeff. Washington's
not
a pretty
nervous.
Good
I'm,
team
I'm compl- I am completely confident in what's going on in New York. I'm completely confident in my quarterback. I'm completely confident in my coach. I'm completely confident in my GM. I'm confident in my offensive line. I know what I got on offense. I love my defense. Washington's going to be like, they'll finish third.
I love Washington's defense too.
I think Washington's got a good defense.
Yeah,
there's no question about it. They're a good football team, but I know what's going on in New York.
They could lose to the Giants in the divisional race. I don't know about them going third though. The Cowboys always find a way to shoot themselves in the foot.
Oh, you think the Cowboys could fall down? That's interesting. Yeah, listen,
there's they questions, always find a way,
and there's questions about Dak Prescott. There's real questions there about Dak Prescott. Whether it's we're not even talking about the injury, which was a terrible injury last year with the compound fracture.
Yeah,
but his shoulder's got issues in there. Yeah. That's a big deal. If he can't get it done, who is Dallas? Who are they? I mean, so everything revolves around him, and the defense. I mean, Micah Parsons was drafted, and I know that the defense is probably, is a rookie going to make that big of a difference? I watched Micah play a little bit. I mean, great player, but I don't know if he's going to make quite the difference. I'm not sure who Dallas has on the fly. I mean, I know that there's kids out there that can move, but they don't have difference makers yet on the offensive end of things. I would say Zeke Elliott and Dak, if they don't have any type of season, Dallas could struggle. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I think really that division comes down to Washington and New York.
Oh, man. Can you imagine? The NFC beast is back, boys and girls. Not the NFC least anymore. All four of those teams are going to be gaming this year, I'm telling you right now. Except for
not
Philly.
The Eagles.
I hope Philly stinks because it's fun when Philly stinks.
I think they will.
All right, quick break. When we come back, we talk Boston Red Sox with all you Red Sox fans in here. Everybody knows all the stats about the Red Sox. They don't know anything about the Yankees. But we're going to talk to my favorite Red Sox insider from The Athletic, Jen McCaffrey. Well, don't go anywhere.